what we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us, along with critics Amy Nicholson, who writes on film for the New York Times and hosts the podcast Unspooled and Zoom, and Christy Lemire, film critic for RogerEbert.com and the co-host of the podcast Breakfast All Day. Christy and Amy have a lot of movies to talk about this week, beginning with the latest in the Fast and Furious franchise. It just keeps on going, and the original cast members continue. F9, the Fast Saga, directed by Justin Lin. Christy, what'd you think?
Yes, the original cast members are there, and then there are new cast members, and then there are dead cast members who've come back because nobody ever really dies in the Fast and Furious saga. So this is F9, Justin Lin, who directed some of the absolute best in the series, 5 and 6. He is back to do 9. And it is about how they once again get sucked into crazy adventures. I mean, the plot really doesn't matter. It's all sort of a framework for the over-the-top action sequences. But Dom and Letty are living a quiet life with little Brian. And they get sucked back into trying to stop Cypher, Charlize Theron, from the 8th Fast and Furious movie, who got away, from doing something with some MacGuffin-y kind of Tesseract kind of device that will, I don't know, overtake everybody's internet. It really doesn't matter what the actual plot is. This is 2.5 hours long, and it is more soapy than ever. And it also tries to get bogged down into really serious drama because Dom has a long-lost brother played by John Cena. And Vin Diesel and John Cena as brothers, that's some pretty great casting there. But the two of them trying to get through serious dramatic dialogue is perhaps not their strong suit. So this is at its best when it's about the crazy chases and the defying gravity, defying physics of their adventures. Some characters do indeed go into space, which was kind of a joke for a long time, and now it's really happened. But this feels not as fun, not as light, despite the fact that it reaches such heights physically within the adventures they go on. It's trying to do so much in terms of the action and the drama and tying the history together. Han, this beloved character played by Sun Kang, comes back, and that doesn't hit with the excitement or the emotion that it should. I wanted to love this. I did a whole rewatch of all 8 of the previous ones with my son over a week prior to this. And so I was ready. I was primed. I was quizzed on it afterward. I was there for that. But I didn't love it, and I'm sad to say that.
F9, the Fast Saga, PG-13, the rating, and it's in wide release. Summer of Soul, documentary directed by Amir Thompson, better known as Questlove, drummer for The Roots and on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He's also an author of books about music history and culture. This is a very personal film for him, taking us back to the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival. Later this hour, I talk with Questlove about the movie. Amy, what did you think of Summer of Soul?
Yeah, I think if you want to go to the movie theater to dance and cheer and clap, maybe Summer of Soul's a better choice for you this weekend than Fast 9. So as you were saying, Larry, like, this takes place in 1969, the same summer as Woodstock, when a promoter throws this huge 6-weekend event called the Harlem Cultural Festival. And now the festival was free, it was right in the middle of the neighborhood, and that means everybody could just sort of swing by. Like, over the 6 weekends, about 300,000 people show up. And they recorded at the time, like, the camera angles on the performances here are amazing. Like, it's a very well-documented piece of work. And if you're wondering, like, why didn't I know about this? Why didn't I see it before? It's because, this footage was never seen for 50 years. And so it's lovely to have it unearthed, because the people that you're seeing in here, you're like, this concert should have been, like, a touchstone just as big as Woodstock. You've got, like, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight and the Pips, B.B. King, Sly and the Family Stone. My favorite performance is the fifth dimension. You know, the singer, she did like that famous medley of Aquarius and Let the Sunshine In. And I realized watching this that I never even knew that that medley wasn't from the singers of Hair, that it was this other band. And they talk about like how they wound up doing that song. That's really like charming. And then they get to watch the footage of themselves doing it, because Questlove tracks down not just people who were there at the concert talking about their memories, just normal people like I walked over, this is what I was wearing, this is what I was doing, but the actual artists themselves who are now getting to see themselves perform, see this performance that they haven't gotten to see in 50 years. And so that's really lovely. Like Questlove lets you watch this documentary in a way if you just want to gawk at these performances, which are incredible. But what he does that's so smart is he's always cutting back to add context about what's happening at the story, like what's on the minds of the people who were there, you know, what's going on at that moment with like Martin Luther King's death and the anger that happened the summer of 68. How is that influencing what's going on the summer of 69? What's going on with Vietnam? Jesse Jackson is there. At one point, the moon landing happens. And so you're watching these people say, you know, it was kind of a waste of money. I don't know about it. I feel a little iffy about this going to the moon thing. And so it really just feels like you're in this moment. And honestly, watching it, my only quibble is that I just want to watch like all 6 weekends. Like I just want to sit around and watch this entire concert in full because it's incredible.
Summer of Soul, the documentary, Christy.
I was totally blown away by it as well. And I had never heard of this festival either, I'm sad to say. And I'm so glad that I know about it now. Yeah, Amy really put it so well that the performances are incredible. The access is incredible. Watching Marilyn McCoo get choked up, watching the Fifth Dimension perform at this show got me choked up. And she had an interesting insight, which was that a lot of folks didn't know that they were an African-American band.
We're going to play that clip, actually, as a part of the interview with Questlove coming up so people can hear. Because I had the same reaction you did to that, Christy.
Yeah, and I was emotional watching her get emotional. And then Questlove, he's a perfect person to make this film because he has such an encyclopedic knowledge of music and such an obvious passion for it. And that passion is infectious in the way that he gets his arms around not just these performances, but these artists and what they were fighting for. And also, as Amy said, the context of where this was taking place. And so I have to say, it never occurred to me in all the many depictions of the moon landing, you know, it's always depicted as such a heroic thing, right? And such a truly American thing. And what a great achievement for us. But for the African-American community in the United States, it's like, of course it was a waste of money. And of course there were better ways to use that money. And it had never occurred to me to view it from that perspective. So I found it eye-opening on a multitude of levels. Yes, Stevie Wonder's incredible. Glass Knight and the Pips, incredible. This whole Mahalia Jackson and Mavis Staples collaboration that goes on. The talent they amassed for this series is just jaw-dropping. So I really hope that folks get to go and see it in a theater if they can.
That too, that figurative passing of the baton from Mahalia Jackson to Mavis Staples. We'll play an excerpt of that also coming up later this hour in our conversation with Questlove about his new documentary. It's his feature directing debut, as if he didn't have enough other creative outlets. He's now a filmmaker with Summer of Soul. It's rated PG-13. It's playing in a week-long run at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. And then starting July 2nd, it's available for home viewing on Hulu. Zola is a comedy crime film starring Taylor Page and Riley Keough. The film is directed by Janixa Bravo. Christy, what'd you think of Zola?
Oh, this is so fun. And then it gets so dark. And then it's got this really sneaky subtext going on underneath it about race and class in America and economic disparity in America. But it begins in just really exciting fashion that just totally grabs you, where you have Taylor Page kind of speaking to the audience, breaking the fourth wall, explaining that she and Riley Keough, who were putting on makeup side by side, are going to have a falling out. And here's how it's going to happen. This whole story is based on a crazy Twitter thread that this dancer named Asia King posted. And it was about some crazy road trip that she went on and all the adventures and all the wild things that occurred. And we are watching that. And so you have to sort of take it with a grain of salt that, okay, this is her story. She's probably embellishing it and having some fun with it. There's definitely some nugget of truth in it, but also a lot of craziness. And so So Taylor Page and Riley Keough, Taylor Page is black, Riley Keough is white. They are both dancers, strippers, who go on this road trip to Florida to supposedly make a little bit of money on a weekend. And Coleman Domingo is their driver, but he's got another role here with Riley Keough. What Riley Keough is doing is incredible because she's putting on an act in which she is co-opting African-American language and slang and fashion and culture. And at first it's kind of shocking. And you realize that that character is being held up as an example of satire of what too often happens of people co-opting black culture and trying to seem cool and not realizing how utterly offensive it is. But she drags Taylor Page, drags Zola down to Florida, and it just gets darker and weirder from there. It's always light on its feet. It's always zippy, but it's got a lot of Spring Breakers to it. It's got some Florida Project to it. I never knew where it was going, and I appreciated that within this kind of candy-colored, wild, vibrant world that Jenixa Bravo gets, you know, a lot of substance here about black-white relations in America and economic differences in America.
Bravo co-wrote the screenplay with Jeremy O. Harris. Amy, what did you think of Zola?
You know, I really wanted to come out of this movie loving it as much as Christy did, because this, I mean, it's an A24 jam. You know that it's got that kind of like zippy, colorful energy to it. You want this film to be like the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. It's based on a thread whose like opening line is like, you know, this is kind of long, but it's filled with suspense. And so my hopes were really high for this. And I felt like the suspense never really happened here. Like, to me, this film doesn't quite know how to navigate the shift from the kind of like quirky Instagram clapback heart culture that it incorporates at the beginning. You know, it has a lot of like kind of fun digital energy to it. It doesn't know how to go from there to actually bearing witness, I feel like, to the darkness that it does wind up bearing witness to. So it can't really navigate, I feel like, the shift in tone as well as I wanted it to do. There's the way that this film is even structured, the idea that it's based on like a person reporting a story on Twitter that she witnessed, where the story is really more about like this person she's watching and this person's relationship with her pimp. It kind of leaves this like distanced effect in the film itself, where I felt like the character of Zola, you know, who Taylor Page plays, you know, with, I think, like a lot of really intelligence, like she doesn't do much, but it's more like in the looks and her reactions to things. You're watching her watch this happen, but I never felt like I was really with her. I wanted to feel more of like the fear and the tension, the thriller element that I thought was going to be in this movie. Instead, you're just sort of watching her unease and her disgust, and it doesn't really ever come to life for me in that way. Like it always just felt like you're watching this story unfold for through like layers of observation that never felt as kinetic as I wanted it to be.
We're talking about Zola, a comedy crime film, rated R. It goes into wide release next Tuesday. Let's at least get started on the Polish drama Sweat. The film is written and directed by Magnus von Horn. Amy.
Yeah, this is another dark thriller, I guess you could say, about how the internet is warping people's brains. This one comes from Poland, and it's about a fitness guru named Sylvia, who's like huge on social media. And the film opens with her hosting this mass workout at a mall. And you get a sense of how she's like worshipped and adored. She's really smiley. She's all about self-acceptance and positivity and taking selfies with people. And she does her best to be a really genuine figure for good, for athleticism. But what the film is really observing is how much this drains her, you know, and that when she lets her guard down with her relationship with people on social media, who she always calls like her loves, you know, which gets sadder and sadder because you witness that when she leaves, she's pretty much always alone. You know, you see that like the real exhaustion for her isn't so much these workouts she's doing, but how hard it is for her to use her platform to be ethical. You know, like she tries at one point not to promote like these healthy meals that come in plastic. And when they send them in plastic anyway, she gets a little snippy with the people who call. But like this idea that she can't do everything right all the time and how much being the perfect internet person is draining her. And when she starts talking about it negatively on her Instagram, when she starts like saying, you know, I wish I had a boyfriend, the sponsors complain. From there, the film kind of gets more darker beats. Like there's a lonely guy stalking her outside the building. And lots happens. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it more.
We'll pick it up when we come back. Sweat is the film. It's unrated at Lemley's NoHo 7. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPECC, the KPECC app, and available wherever you get your podcasts. It's Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle, joined this week by critics Christy Lemire and Amy Nicholson. Amy's just telling us about the Polish drama Sweat, starring Magdalena Kolesnik. It's written and directed by Magnus von Horn. Amy, share with us a bit more about it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it's a really great portrait of that adds empathy to people who are like social media influencers. It reminds me a bit of a film that came out a few years ago called Cam, about cam girls. This idea of what is it like to live your life on camera, and how does that create to having two different types of personalities? And this one, there's a scene in here that's just so smart, and I really want people to see it. That really captures what it's like to be a person who has a level of fame where anybody feels like they can come up to you at a mall and give you a hug, and you're not sure whether or not they're your friend and they want something from you that you can't give. And this idea of how do you create boundaries in this new type of fame where people feel like they can tell you everything, but they maybe don't want to know as much about you as they even think they do. And I just think this film captures that really well. Like Magdalena Kolesnik, who plays Sylvia, this like fitness guru, she just has, I don't know, a lot of resolve on her face. And you really, really care about this character. So even though I feel like it doesn't have too much of a plot, it's more of a character piece and watching how this world unfolds for her. It's a really fantastic little film, and I hope people give it a shot.
Sweat is the movie. It's unrated at Lemley's NoHo 7 in North Hollywood. The sports documentary LFG is directed by Sean Fine and Andrea Nix. Christy?
LFG stands for Let's Effing Go. I can't say it, of course, because we're on a family show here on the radio. But it is sort of the battle cry, the anthem for the women of the U.S. women's national soccer team. It is their battle cry in general, but in particular as they are fighting for equal pay. And it is the story of how they filed this class action gender discrimination lawsuit heading into the 2019 Women's World Cup. Right, which they won, which was thrilling. And it's about how they're at the top of their game and they're having to navigate this tricky situation where like they're going and they're playing for their country, but they're also suing their employer in the process. And how fighting for equal pay, you know, when you're at the absolute top of your game, translated to this nationwide and ultimately this worldwide groundswell for women everywhere who were being paid less than their male counterparts. And they show with graphs and charts, like how much less the women make per game, per win, how much less they get in bonuses. The women won the World Cup and they still get less than men get for not winning their World Cup. And we get to know a lot of the women on the team, including, of course, Megan Rapinoe, who was the incredibly charismatic and swaggering face and star of the team, and also Julie Foudy, who had played 20 years ago, chimes in about her experience when she was also trying to fight for the same thing and figuring, oh, it'll be fine eventually, and 20 years later, still not. And we hear from Jessica McDonald, who also is a mom, and how she's juggling, you know, doing coaching gigs on the side just to pay the bills. And it's just infuriating and inspiring all at once. You know, you would think that people who are this incredibly gifted and incredibly hardworking, who are at the absolute peak of their profession, should be paid accordingly. And they are not, and they are still not. So tune in and get mad.
LFG is unrated. It's available on HBO Max, again, directed by Sean Fine and Andrea Nix. Also a documentary about a notable group of women is Rebel Hearts, which takes us inside the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who are based here in Los Angeles. Pedro Kass is the director of the documentary. Amy?
Yeah, this documentary is also terrific. So you really can get your double feature on about like stories about women facing down the patriarchy that are done with just a ton of style. I mean, here the story with the Immaculate Heart Nuns is it's about a group of women who in the 40s and 50s, these young women looked at kind of the state of womanhood where it was like, oh, your options are you know, marriage and children and, you know, living by the patriarchal system that really kind of closed down options that there were for women in the 40s and 50s and saying, well, I don't want to do that, so I will join a nunnery. And what happens in the LA nunnery system here is all like really fascinating to me. It's a lot about these nuns and their relationship to the Cardinal, to Cardinal McIntyre, who turns out to have been a former Wall Street guy who looked around and thought like, well, one thing I can do that's really smart is I can build a lot of schools, get this land, and I can use these nuns as basically free labor to be teachers for all of these Catholic schools. And so these nuns, who most of them only have a high school education, are now put in charge of classes of 80 kids each and losing their minds and realizing this is not a fair working environment. And then as this tension moves into the 60s and as like the flower child explosion happens, as Vatican II happens, as one of the nuns named Sister Creta Kent becomes this really well-known pop artist, how do these tensions and these nuns realizing they need real reforms clash against the cardinal? And it's just a fantastic story that's incredibly well researched. Like, the archival footage in here is amazing. There's great animation. A lot of times documentaries lean on animation to cover the patches that they don't have. And here, the way they do it, it's like this German expressionist Nosferatu style of the cardinal kind of barging into their nunnery, deep shadows. It has so much style and fun. I was entranced by this, by these women and by the story about LA that I didn't know.
Rebel Hearts, about the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart in Los Angeles. Christy.
I'm so glad I watched this. Amy suggested that we get to it this week for sure, and I'm really glad that I watched it because I was so inspired by these women, and it is a nice companion piece with LFG, as you mentioned. Yeah, it's amazing to think that this wasn't all that long ago. You know, that it seems so archaic, the idea of, you know, nuns and actual habits. But it wasn't all that long ago that the church was telling them how to dress and when to speak and, you know, what kind of jobs they could have and giving them names. And it's thrilling to watch them and hear the recordings of them coming into their own and realizing, oh, we can do it this way. We can do it our own way. And one thing that was shocking was when these other like church leaders say to them, oh, just pretend that you're wearing the old habits and just talk to each other when you want. And we're just going to pretend, just lie. Like, isn't that a commandment? Like, last time I checked, isn't that like one of the commandments you're not supposed to break? Like, I was amazed by that. But just to maintain appearances, they're telling the nuns to lie and maintain their old antiquated ways. Yeah, I was really inspired by the way that they fought for themselves and for each other and the fact that they were able to, you know, provide some guidance to other young women who were interested in some kind of religious education. And they still own that Immaculate Heart High School campus area where Meghan Markle went, of course. And yeah, I'm really, really glad that I watched this.
Rebel Hearts, the documentary, it's unrated. Pedro Koss is the director. You can see it at Lemley's Glendale Theater. It's also available on the streaming service Discovery Plus beginning on Sunday. I Carry You With Me is a drama set both in New York and in Mexico. Christian Vasquez stars in the film. Heidi Ewing directed it and co-wrote it with Alan Page. Christy, what did you think of I Carry You With Me?
It's so lovely. It's this very intimate and very empathetic depiction of this love story that is true. These are these true gentlemen, real life gentlemen that the director Heidi Ewing knows. Heidi Ewing for a long time has been a documentarian. She was co-nominated for an Oscar for Jesus Camp alongside Rachel Grady. This is her first narrative feature. And it's about these two gentlemen and how against the odds of being gay in Mexico and then, you know, coming to the United States and trying to establish a life for themselves here, how their love withstood every obstacle and every challenge. And one of the gentlemen wanted to be a restaurant owner, and he also has a family back home in Mexico, a child, and it's how does that come into play with this gentleman's relationship? It's really sweet. It's got this lovely balance of kind of wispy and impressionistic storytelling and a jumping back and forth in time with kind of verite style, like documentarian's eye for realism and for tangible details that put you in the moment. So it's an interesting balance that she finds there, and neat combination artistically. It takes a shift toward the end that I don't want to give away for folks who haven't seen it yet. And that shift kind of took me out of it. I had to rewind it and think to myself, like, am I missing something here? Did I skip? Was I not paying close enough attention? So a shift occurs that either you're going to go with it or not. It kind of took me out of it, but others might find it totally profound. But either way, it's a lovely and sweet and inspiring romance.
I Carry You With Me is rated R, directed and co-written by Heidi Ewing. It's available in selected theaters, and it stars Christian Vasquez and Armando Espitia. Fathom is a documentary about the communication of humpback whales. It's directed by Drew Xanthopoulos. Amy, what'd you think of Fathom?
This is, I think, a really, really interesting documentary. You have these two scientists here, Dr. Michelle Frenet and Dr. Ellen Garland, and they're doing different but adjacent work on two opposite hemispheres. Like, up in Alaska, Dr. Frenet is trying to actually communicate with a humpback whale to, you know, figure out what they're saying and play recordings back and see if they can hold a conversation. And it's taken her years and years and years to develop this machine. Like, the first version that she does, the whale voice is too squeaky. And they're like, who are you? We don't want to talk to you. And then in the Southern Hemisphere, like, Dr. Ellen Garland is, you know, she has this theory that whales share a whale song, that, like, there's kind of like a whale hit of the summer where one song starts in Australia and they pass it along from Australia to French Polynesia, which really? Is where she's at. Yeah. So this, she's testing this hypothesis that whales have a shared culture and a way of communicating. And you watch them graph, like, the graphical images of what whale songs look like on computers are just fascinating. And it's like this long, almost hour long track that she records that they're passing around and passing around. And the way that the documentary is framed, it felt to me like watching a real world science fiction. You know, these two women, they have a lot in common with, like, Jodie Foster in Contact or Amy Adams in Arrival. You know, these are movies about women just aglow with the idea of communicating with another species. And, like, seeing how this story plays out, not just with aliens, but, like, with creatures who have been on this planet for, like, over 40 million years, it's really beautiful. I thought really inspirational. And, like, what you don't get in this film is you don't get a lot of whale footage. It's very, like, human-focused on what these women do to try to make this happen. And so you don't actually, like, watch a lot of the whales. Like, the director's really interested more in just, like, showing the scale of their research. He has a lot of camera shots where you see a tiny boat on this giant horizon that looks like it never ends. And then a whale tail pops up that's as big as their skiff. And it kind of shifts focus at that point from, like, being both about what they're learning from the whales and also how what they're learning in the whales applies to these women themselves. You know, that, say, you know, the researcher who's learning about, like, how whale culture gets shared and transmitted, she teaches her research assistant, like, a way of wrapping microphone wire that then she mentions that she learned from, like, her professor, who learned it from her professor, who learned it from her professor. Or the one who's trying to, like, have conversations with whales, like, you see that she's in this rural outpost with her researchers, and they start having really intense conversations about how they feel more disconnected back in society than they do here, about how to be, like, a single female researcher who wants to have a kid, and could she have a kid, and what would it be like out here? And so it's this tribute to just communication in general, and to talking about how other people think, how other species think. And it's really lovely. I felt like I learned a lot, and I was just in awe of watching the science play out.
If you're looking for a film with notable women in it, you have an abundance of choices this week. No question about it. Fathom, a documentary directed by Drew Xanthopoulos. It's unrated. It's on Apple TV Plus, also at Lemley's Monica Film Center in Santa Monica. The documentary Wolfgang is about LA's own celebrity chef, Wolfgang Puck, David Gelb, the director. Christy.
Now it's time to celebrate a famous man. But Wolfgang Puck, you know, this movie is very similar to several documentaries we have seen in recent weeks, months, years, most notably the Rita Moreno documentary that came out last week, where you have the participation of the subject and you have really candid interviews and access to stories about their life and people who work with them and can sing their praises. And so it's not exactly a warts and all depiction of Wolfgang Puck, but it is a fascinating rags to riches story of a man who really truly did revolutionize restaurants and the way that we go out to dinner and the way that we think of chefs as actual celebrities. I mean, he is in a lot of ways the first true celebrity chef. And so it follows his origins in small town Austria, growing up poor with an abusive stepfather, and how he escaped that and loved cooking, and that was his salvation, and eventually came to LA and created California cuisine. And we have interviewed a lot of folks who work with him, including Mark Peel, who sadly died recently.
Yeah, we just lost Mark last week.
Yeah, and Wolfgang Puck is just enormously charismatic. So he's fun to listen to.
Wolfgang is the documentary, rated TV PG. It's on Disney Plus. Back with more on Film Week in a moment.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.